what you argue for, you always get to keep. Always and forever. What you argue for, wisdom key number three, what you argue for, you always get to keep. I've been talking on this idea of amazing increase and alluding to and pointing to and mentioning the book, The Think and Grow Rich. Good book. You know, the podcast is entitled The Science of Getting Rich because I'm teaching from the book and applying it to my life and to yours. And that's the big point. That's the big selling point is I'm going to go through a series of hundreds, I don't know how many recordings, to ultimately get to the end and share with you the book, The Science of Getting Rich, and how I apply it to my life to accumulate and build wealth in the real estate market, in stock market, and in business. And this idea of living a life that's worth recording. See, I think you should be living a life that's worth recording, it's worth documenting. And it's so easy to do today. You can just click a button. So we want to live a life worth recording. 93% of people who seek increase in prosperity ultimately are employed by the 7% who argued for wealth. There's a fine distinction there. When we think in terms of wealth, we think in terms of keeping one's money forever. What you argue for, you always get to keep. And in my experience, I've argued to get to keep real estate. I've argued to fight and keep my money so that I can invest it in stocks. And it's a daily battle. And it's not easy. And you have all these forces are aligned against you. And it's not just the big four, the four horsemen of the financial apocalypse, taxes, debt, inflation, and corporate marketing, but it's also family members and kids and life and dentists and tires go bad and roofs leak and, you know, fucking problems. And so you end up in this situation where you have to argue for wealth, like you have to fight. This shit's not easy. A lot of people that I come across argue for poverty. They began to tell me all of the reasons that they don't have any wealth. And I'm like, see, and what they're missing, and it's not me being an asshole, and it's not me. It's what they miss, what they're not getting is in their tone, in their conversation, in their voice, in their email, in their DM, they argue to keep their current situation. Often it starts like this. Hey, Gerald, I'm a XXXX. I had bad parents. They let me go into college debt. Blah, 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 blah. I'm a single mom. Blah, 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 blah. I'm a single dad. Blah, 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 blah. And they make the case for their situation. Now, they don't see it that way because they're not seeing the big picture. Pillar number, what is it? Number seven? Inside of the pillar, 10 pillars of success. Now, I say these, and I know you haven't looked at them. Every one of you listening right now have not gone and listened at them and read those. Bible says we entertain angels unaware. Meaning people who could help you are right there. And because it's not the way that you wanted, it's not done the way you're thinking, you don't see it. Well, Gerald, can you be my mentor? No. You can be your mentor. See, what I have, I freely give away. I'm not charging you, bro. And because of the fact that I'm not charging, it's a hard message to receive. Wait, you're telling me that you're giving me information that could radically change my life, change and alter the course of my life, build wealth, and you want nothing from me? Yes. Well, that can't be good. I need to go over here because this guru says for $1,000 or for $499 or for $299 or just pick a fucking number. Pick your guru. Does he have a jet? If he has a jet, it's probably going to be a little more. If he doesn't have a jet, it's going to be a little less. and he's going to give you some sort of magic mentoring. Basically, he's going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, except he's going to charge you, and somehow you're going to feel better about that. Now, here's my favorite guru lie. If you pay money for it, then you'll do it. See, because if you give someone something for free, it'll be of such little, they'll place little importance on it, and so they won't actually do it. So by charging them, you're actually doing them a favor because now they'll do it. You see that little circle? They're explaining to you why it's good that they charge you a bunch of money, because it's for your own good. Because without charging you, you probably won't do it. Talk about a line of BS. You won't do it because you don't have the secret sauce that I said, what, 3 or 4 recordings ago as we began this series on Amazing Increase, this idea of self-persuasion. And you have to persuade yourself. And so if you can't persuade yourself, you're not going to get anything done. All the mentoring in the world and the hand-holding, and I could come at your house and pull up the stock charts and show you how to trade. I could show you how to write ads. I could show you how to buy real estate. But if you don't have inside of you the spirit of can-do, of doership, nothing will happen. The same spirit sits in me. The same mind sits in you. And Steve Jobs and Donald Trump, we're all born at this time on planet Earth and have access to the same things. The internet has changed everything. It's no more, I don't know. It's now I choose ignorance. Now, people don't say it that way. They still say, I don't know. And it's because they choose ignorance. Because you can literally Google anything. You just Google it, and there's the answer. But one has to have the ability to persuade oneself to internalize the information, to take in the information. Listen, I teach a stock strategy of how to buy and sell stocks. It's so simple to me. It takes me literally 3 seconds to look at a chart and go yes, no. Yes or no. 3 seconds. And it works. And I show it to people. And 2 months after getting the book, still don't know how to do it, still haven't read it. Why? Because it's not about information. I could give them the world's greatest trading system that could literally change their life. Didn't read it. They didn't apply it. Didn't internalize it. Why? A lot of reasons. Could be the big four of the financial apocalypse. Could be the voices in their head. The wife, the kids. Can't do it. Truth is, they're not arguing for prosperity. They don't wake up every day pissed off saying, damn it, today's the God bless. I'm going to. Like, they're not mad at their situation. They're defeated. A lot of people are defeated. They start the conversation with all of the problems they have, seeking a simple solution, a quick way to fix it. There isn't one. You lose weight like you gain weight. You do it in reverse. Shit ain't complicated. And yet there's meal plan after diet plan after exercise product. You eat less than you burn. Simple, right? 3 seconds I can analyze a stock. 3 seconds, buy, sell, or hold. 3 seconds. I don't need to know anything about the company. I can just look at the chart and tell you no, yes. Now, that's a superficial look. At that point, we then need to go deeper. What do they do? Right? And so we go down this process. But my point is, some things are that simple. Why? Because I took a period of my life where I argued for the right to be able to do this. I fought and argued for the right to stand up in front of people and say, hey, I wrote this book about trading. You say, well, what gives you the authority? I lost $70,000 learning how to trade. That's what gave me the right. It's called experience. It's called time in. It's called 7 to 10 years. It's called the 10,000 hour rule, right? It takes 7 to 10 years to master anything. It takes 7 to 10 years to lay the foundation for building wealth. It takes the 7 to 10 years to become a great accountant. It takes 7 to 10 years to become a great actor. It takes 7 to 10 years to solidify yourself as one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Doesn't happen in 1 year. You had one good year. So what? You had two good years. So what? Three? Who cares? Four? Okay. Five? Well, he's still trying. It takes time. But people aren't arguing for that. Now, you may be arguing that. I got a feeling I'm speaking to the choir here. A lot of you guys are arguing for this. But you know your friends aren't arguing for it. You know how? Because as I began to argue for wealth, I lost all my friends. Because they're not arguing for the same thing that I'm arguing for. And I decided not to compromise. In other words, I don't have time for bullshit. To sit around doing mindless things. I just don't have time for it. I'm on a mission. And so people drift away. Because I don't have time to sit on a Saturday doing nothing. I just don't want to do that. I have no interest in doing that. And so if that is of importance to you, we can't be friends. Because I'm doing other things. See what I'm saying? It's not that I don't like them. That's not what I'm saying. Just the natural, you will naturally pull away, pull apart. It's just natural. It's how it happens. I'm not going to lower my expectations. I'm not going to change my goals. I'm not going to shrink my ambitions to make someone else happy. No. And so things, life begins to evolve. Things change. This is an actual problem for some people. Usually they're in their 20s. They begin to realize this, that their high school friends and maybe their college friends, we're doing different things. We're doing different things. A man decides to put his attention on a wife and a family and doing these other things. He can't be playing fucking football on Saturday. Now, the guy who does that, he's not arguing for wealth. Because here's what you don't understand. You have limited time on this earth. You have limited time. And if you spend so much of it doing unproductive activities, then that's fine. You could do that. I'm not against that. But don't talk to me about some big ambitious goals you have. Because you're not going to accomplish them. You're going to be average. You're going to be average. Average is average. It is what it is. Nothing wrong with that. A lot of people are average. I consider my dad average. I consider my neighbor average. They're good people. But I'm not. I'm arguing for prosperity. You know, a few hundred years ago, some guys had a fabulous idea. They got together and formed a club called the United States of America. And inside, there was this guy named Thomas. And Thomas Paine, you know, he scratched a few ideas on paper. It influenced a guy named George. You may have heard of him, named Washington. And ultimately, between this Thomas Paine and this George Washington and a couple guys named Ben and Thomas and a few other people, we ended up with the Constitution. But it was an argument. The whole process was an argument. And arguments turn bloody. There was a revolution. And if you notice, they created a dollar bill, and on that dollar bill, it has a little pyramid. Every time I look at the pyramid, I think health, wealth, and mindset. The three pillars to the keys of life. And some people see it and think Illuminati or whatever. Maybe that is. I don't know. Can't do anything about it, so I don't care. But I see the wealth triangle of health, wealth, and mindset. I was teaching this in 2008, this idea of health, wealth, and mindset, that every day you needed to touch all three. You needed to touch your health, you needed to touch your wealth, you needed to touch your mindset. So every day you're feeding your mind. You're reading, studying, actively thinking on things that will improve the quality of your mind. Things like, you know, self-help or motivation, whatever it is for you. Like, some people don't need that. They're already motivated. They don't need to be motivated. But if you suffer from that, then that's something you would feed your mind. And you might say, well, I'm motivated. I need to learn more. Okay, well, that's feeding your mind. Health, wealth, and mindset. But you can't give up on the wealth part just because you're feeding your mind part. And if you feed the mind and you feed your wealth and then you allow yourself to get so unhealthy you die, that's a problem. And so we have to be conscious. And I'm not saying you have to be a bodybuilder, but I am saying don't smoke crack. See what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to take these things to the extreme. You're probably going to lean toward one or the other. Like, for me, it's wealth building. I can spend all day on this shit. And I got to make myself get up and go do some exercise. You know, I don't have to make myself read a self-help book or an education. Like I enjoy it. And so it's easy for me to do. But inside of this idea of the triangle, the health, wealth, and mindset, one of them, you're going to have to kick your own ass. And that goes back to what we were saying about this idea of persuasion. You have to persuade yourself. You have to vote for you. And so all of this comes connected. I've spent about 20-something years studying this stuff. When I say studying, I mean reading, talking, teaching, and writing. Internalizing, dissecting a book like Think and Grow Rich, like literally taking the chapters, breaking it down, and as a grown fucking adult getting paid nothing, creating book reports about it. Why? To master it. What you give away, you get to keep. You've heard me say this. If you followed me, if you were ever involved in network marketing with me, you see how I could persuade people to join me in something like that, because I began to talk about wealth and prosperity, and they'd say, yeah, shit, sign me up. The problem is that in order for that kind of business to work, they then have to turn around and do that to other people. Problem is, most people are in a me mode, and so they can't switch from them to now teaching or writing a book report when no one's telling them to and they're not getting paid anything. How many people in your life have you ever met that wrote a book and then gave it away? I mean, be honest. How many people have you ever met that wrote a book and then gave away thousands of copies and asked for nothing? Very few, right? Right. Why would I do that? This is not to toot my own horn. I didn't invent this. I stole it from other people who are smarter than me. So don't misunderstand that I'm saying that I'm something. I'm not. I'm actually just modeling something I saw before. A guy named Jesus came along and see, the funny thing, I don't consider myself a Christian. I don't consider myself a Christian. Right? I don't have to be a real estate investor to like Grant Cardone. Right? I don't have to be involved in social media to like Gary Vee. I don't have to play football to like watching football. So the fact that I'm not, some people get this mixed up. Well, he always talks about Jesus and I'm not religious. Neither am I. Doesn't take away the fact that it was some pretty wise stuff. I mean, we could conclude that I'm not a Muslim, but damn, Muhammad did some stuff, right? Like he must have said something that was worth listening to because a lot of the world listens to him. Or Buddha. I mean, they're not. A third of the world didn't become Buddhist because it was bad. So there's something there, right? And so you may say, well, I don't like self-help motivation. Okay, but you think that like a bazillion billionaires crediting me and, oh, you should read the book Think and Grow Rich like that. You think that means maybe you should read it? Like that's not complicated, right? And so we can live our life where we put these filters on and we look at everything through these filters. And then you miss the fact that God sends angels unaware and they were right there and you couldn't read them because you were filtering and you wanted everything a certain way. Like you needed it served on a silver platter, not a regular plate. What you argue for, you always get to keep. Wisdom key number 3. Sometimes this idea, you know, I talk about a lot, this idea of the law of attraction, of universal law. Sometimes people, that's new agey. It's not. This is the new interpretation of something that was old. They didn't invent the shit. They didn't invent it. Whether you call it law of attraction or thinking positive or acting as if and walking as though or fake it till you make it. Like a lot of ways to describe it. It's assuming shit's going to happen and acting like it does. That's different. Another way to say that is what you argue for you get to keep. I've done over 5, 6, 7 audios back in my networking days. That's not what this platform is about. I'm not trying to get anybody to do anything. Everything I have, I freely give away. I teach a stock strategy that's made me a lot of money. And I do it free. I give it away. Free of charge. Now, if you want me to stop what I'm doing, go to my bookshelf, pull off a copy, sign it, send it to you, and communicate with you on a daily basis, like take my time and speak to you via email or text message, you're going to have to buy my book. That's not because I'm somebody special. I got shit to do. And so I need to narrow it down a bit, right? And so if a guy's bought my book, cool. Let's conversate. If a guy can't be bothered to buy the book, well, let's keep our conversations to a minimum. Time is one of our greatest assets. It's one of our greatest assets. This is a principle that some people can be uncomfortable with. But I learned it back in my days when I was trying to recruit people. See, when you try to recruit people, some people think that means you just, you know, it could be recruiting people for anything. People think, well, I got to just, if I just puke enough, if I just slam enough, if I just spam enough, if I just, you know, mail enough, if I just talk enough, then I'm going to get some people. It's like spaghetti, you know, you just stick it to the wall and some things are going to stick. It's a shotgun approach to marketing. It can work. It can work. But it's a little different if you market different, if you market individually. So let's say you were trying to get to me. Let's say you wanted to recruit me for your program, affiliate deal, whatever it was, or to be an affiliate of yours or to recommend something you have. I get this all the time. And this is how they do it. Hey, Gerald, you should look at this. You can make a lot of money. And I respond with, don't give a shit. See, they didn't get through to me, right? Because their offer's the same as everybody else. I get it every day. I get 10, 15 a day. Join our affiliate program, recommend this. 10, 15 a day. Now, here's how you get to me. Hey, Gerald, what's your shipping address? I got something I think you're going to like. You think that guy gets my attention? Of course he does. It's common sense. You'd be shocked how many people don't market with common sense. Why? Because they're greedy bastards. They don't want to spend any money. They'd rather just shotgun blast and hope they hit something rather than put a scope on, aim, and shoot the target. And so they never learn how to market. Now imagine you're a master marketer following these universal principles, the law of what you give away, you get to keep. And you begin to target 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 guys like me. You find 100 people with 30,000 followers, with a database, with a platform, who speak, and you bang all 100 of them, and then you follow up, and then you send something else, and then you follow up. Guess what happens to your conversions? They go up. But that's not how people want to do it. And therefore, most people don't get to me because the shit they offer me is if I do work, I'll make some money, which makes them money. That's not how you get my attention. You're not going to get my attention with money. The only guy's attention you're going to get with money, that's bottom feeding. The only guy you're going to get there is a guy who's struggling. When you get to a guy who's prosperous, guys, I don't have a job. When I wake up tomorrow, I can do whatever the fuck I want to do. I have no job. My passive income is twice what I need to live. So you think you're going to get to me by saying, hey, this can make you a lot of money? I know how to make money. That's not what's going to get to me. What's going to get to me is when you present it to me in such a way, some sort of value, or somehow it's going to help my life or improve or save me time. Like, you see what I'm saying? You have to come at it a different way. People don't do that. Therefore, they don't get to me. And some of you who have gotten to me, you know, there's an exchange, right? There's some value exchange between me and you. Like, you, there's something that you're, that I enjoy, I continue to talk to you. But if it's always them coming wanting from me, guess what? You're going to find eventually I just stop talking to you because this person just wants, which is fine. I produce free content for that and I put it out. They can do what they want with it, right? But as far as letting them monopolize my time, I can't do that. And so I understood this and I learned this is I just gave you a master marketing class and it probably went over most of your heads. Right? The value of that. But here's what you can't do, because this pisses me off, where you mention something that may be a perceived value to me and then immediately go in for the sale to me. Hey, Gerald, if you ever need help with this, and then you ask me for something. No. That's not how you do it. That's like trying to have sex with a girl first date. That's not how you do it. Anyway, I got off on a rant there. What we argue for, we always get to keep. Here's some lessons I've learned in life, and we'll wrap this up. What you teach others to see or to become is a reflection of yourself. Now go check out my podcast, check out my YouTube, my newsletter. I mean, I have a $500,000 stock portfolio that I just show you on display. I mean, people could just copy it. I don't charge anything. It's just free. PetersReport.com. ThePetersReport.com. No fee. Nothing. Nothing. And you know what a lot of people will say to me? Could you send me a reminder to look at it every week, please, Gerald? Now, I know you wrote it for free, and I know you produced the content for free, and I know you put it out for free, but I have so little self-persuasion, no way I could possibly remember. Could you? Why? Because that's what they're used to. See, people are used to being spoon-fed. They're used to being mentored or walked down a path. God fucking forbid that they controlled the path themselves and decided what they looked at. They need to be reminded. I don't even want to talk to them. See, that guy's not arguing for what I'm arguing for, because no one has to remind me to look at my newsletter. There's no fucking reminder for me. Get it? I didn't need a reminder to come here and record this. And yet people forget to listen. I really enjoy it, but I forget to listen. Mm-hmm. Because you missed the whole fucking point of Think and Grow Rich, self-persuasion. No one reminds me to go listen to Gary Vaynerchuk. Nobody reminds me to look up stocks or keep track of the dogs of the Dow. Nobody reminds me of these things. There's not nothing in my life that I'm reminded of by any other person. I persuade me. There's no one that says, Gerald, you know, you should go look at houses today. No, me. I tell me to do that. Persuasion. When you ease a person's negative self-image, they become a carrier of that news. What's my message? Anyone can become rich in the next 7 to 10 years, regardless of age, race, or financial situation, if they begin to do things in a certain way. Anyone. Now, that doesn't mean in 7 to 10 years you're going to be rich. What it means is you're going to lay the foundation to ensure you get rich. And people miss that because they want to be rich in 10. Now, obviously you could be if you make enough money, but that's not what I'm teaching. I'm not teaching people how to make money. You got to figure out how to make your own money. I'm teaching you what to do with the money. How to think about the money you make. Right? You get what I'm saying? People miss that. This self-help motivation guru industry or self-teaching, I think the format's going to change. It's no longer about charging people for shit. It's about what you give away, you get to keep, what you freely offer. Here's the thing. When I stopped charging for books, when I stopped trying to sell books, guess what happened? I started selling books. See, because for every 100 books I give away, about 5 people buy a book. So instead of advertising or pitching, hey, buy my book, I just said, hey, here it is, it's free. And then guess what? People bought it. Why? Because it's better to give than to receive. It's a universal principle that if you give people more in use value than you ask for in monetary value, you get rewarded. And so I went around being the Pied Piper, prosperity, like here. Oh, thank you. Here. Oh, thank you. And then I began to build this little community of like-minded people. Made some good friends, man. I have made friends by giving away what I know, who then in turn go to me and say, hey, Gerald, did you see this? And I didn't see that. And now I look, I invest, and I've made money. I have followers who've sent me stocks. Wouldn't even have looked at it myself. Not that I couldn't. It's just a big world, right? And because of our relationship, I go, look, read up on it, do my little do that I do, my little due diligence. I run it through Morningstar, I run it through Top Picks, I run it through a few things, and I get what seems to be a fair value, and wow, yeah, the stock's underpriced. And then what do? Put it on my charts. And if it lines up with my charts, what they said with the value and the charts, no brainer. And I've made thousands of dollars. Now think of this relationship. I give a guy a free book. He then reads said book and says, dude, can I get a hard copy? and buys a book, I make 10 bucks. Then he says, hey, let me buy that stock book. I make 30 bucks. Now, I've made 40 bucks from our exchange, but I've given him 20 years of experience of how I went from $250 to like $3 million and still doing it every day. And now he has a new friend. I have a new friend. Is that a fair exchange? It's better to give people more in use value. Is 20 years of investing, trading, marketing, all the my knowledge, is that worth 40 bucks? Of course it is, right? Of course it is. It's not even up for debate. It's fucking stupid. Of course it is. So now we've done that. So now we've exchanged to the mutual benefit to each other. I made a few bucks. Possible friend. And now guess what happens? Law of reciprocity. Universal law. If someone does something nice for you, what do you feel obliged to do? Do something nice to them. So if you open the door for a lady, most ladies are going to say thank you. Not everyone. Because the universal laws don't work on everyone. Because everyone's not seeking prosperity. But some people are. And then those people, through the law of reciprocity, return to me and go, hey, Gerald, did you see this? And then I make money. I help them. They help me. And everyone benefited. Most of the people listening to this right now don't get that. You never shared anything with me. Just take. Listen, take. Can't even be bothered to comment or to say a nice word. Just take, which is fine. I'm putting it out. I'm putting it out for the people to take. I'm pushing my intent into the universe. I'm really talking to me. This shit's not about, it's about me. I'm trying to motivate me. Keeping my mind on the task at hand of growing a little bit richer every day. Growing a little bit richer every day. Hey guys, this is Gerald Peters. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. That is such a key principle, wealth principle, number three, this idea of wisdom key number three, what you argue for, you always get to keep. Huge concept. Appreciate that. Thanks for listening. If you would, write a review, post a comment, share with a friend, something like that. Help me out as we spread this message. Listen, you know I'm not asking. You can freely share it with a friend because, you know, I'm not going to ask anything of your friend. I think that's the point of the message. My only point is you need to be pursuing wealth. And it's not for me. It's for you. But I believe in karma. I believe the easiest way for me to get rich is to help teach people how to get rich. That makes sense? You've heard that. Everyone knows this. If you teach other people, the best way to learn something is to teach something, right? And I'm a student of this until the day I die. At 85 years old, I have every intention of me trying to teach wealth principles. And I hopefully, I'll be worth $20 million when I'm doing it. And a lot more people will be listening. God bless.